Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
Man, those two really hate each other. That feud's like Biggie Tupac level. Maybe even Morgan Freeman and Shailene Woodley level.
With Dusty Hera.
I'm not hygienic. I don't wipe properly. I lack style.
And the man who accepted impermissible teriyaki benefits as a college All-American, Cam Cleland.
Why does anybody in the world ever eat anything but breakfast food?
People are idiots, Ron.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
All right, hour number two here. Dusty here, Cam Cleland with you. Thank you for being a part of our morning and letting us be a part of yours. Next hour, we will have our Pro Football Challenge brought to you by Encore Audio Video at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Then actor and comedian Michael Rapaport is going to be in town for shows at Helium this weekend. He'll join us in studio along with our friend Oliver Maroney of The Big Three, where he just got a full-time gig. Oliver did. Woo! So those two going to join us in studio. Yeah, should be a fun conversation. NBA, he's a big sport. Mike Rapaport's a big sports guy. So I got to ask him about his Knicks. Buck seems to believe he's a Jets fan because he played one in a movie. Which is
well,
how we get
a,
all
if
of
he's
our
a New Yorker and he follows the Knicks, he's got to be
a Giants fan. He's a Giants fan. If you're a Knicks fan, you're a Giants fan.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then you're also a Yankee.
I thought everybody was a Knicks fan. But if you're a Giant fan, you're a Yankee fan, and you're a Jets fan,
and
you're
Mets.
Mets.
Yeah, I thought Jets and Mets, yeah.
But everybody's the Knicks, which is just basically you just...
That's a good point.
You S on the Knicks.
Because the Nets came later.
Yeah, you just S on the Knicks all day. And then...
Well, we'll find out.
You S on the Knicks and the Jets and the Giants and the Mets. You just praise the Yankees.
The Knicks, are they the most valuable dumpster fire franchise in sports?
Yes.
Highest paid garbage pile?
Yes. Yeah, nothing you said there was inaccurate, sir.
All right.
Nothing that you said was inaccurate.
You feel better about today's college football playoff after you let it settle in?
No.
Okay, I'm just wondering.
Wait, about
are you
the
okay
playoff?
With it?
With what? With how the rankings
are?
Yeah, did
everything settle in a little bit over the day? Did you feel like there's too much?
I didn't have a problem with it in the first place.
Okay, I'm just checking.
I mean, the Pac-12 teams moved up. And Georgia and Alabama are still in front of them, you know? I don't know. Why? Are you upset about it?
No. I think it's spot on. Oh. Or I've kind of settled into it a little bit.
Oh, yeah. So you're not as worked up about the SEC getting two teams in and, you know? I think Bama's going to be held out still.
Okay.
With you.
I don't think so.
I want it to happen. I'm hoping it happens. All right.
I think that just like Jeff Schwartz said on Twitter.
May the Schwartz be with you.
You should have the SEC bracket and everybody else.
Yeah, well, isn't that already kind of what it is, right?
I think maybe.
I mean, that's what it is you have the SEC and then just kind of plan for scraps after that.
You know, both you and I listen. I know we're getting in your hot and cold, mm-hmm. but both you and I listen to... Okay. To the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Cowherd yesterday, using your eyeballs.
Yeah.
As much as we want to say, I mean, the guy makes good points. Can we not just use our eyeballs and watch the sport and tell you that the SEC is just head and shoulders better than everybody else at playing football?
Who's denying that?
There's a lot out there that are denying that.
Really?
There's a lot out there that are denying just using your vision. And understanding that they just do everything better physically, more talent, more money, more draft picks, everything.
Well,
and then we want to chant from the rooftops. And I go, eventually, you can't just tell me how good you are. You have to show it.
Well, but you can't show it unless you have a seat at the table. And that is the problem, is that if the SEC, whoever that second team is in the SEC, you did not show it throughout the season. Give somebody else a seat at that table to sit there and say, We're gonna make a run at it because whatever team it is has already not shown.
Well, I can't disagree with you on that. From the outside perspective, your seat at the table is basic regular season games or head to heads in neutrals or non-neutrals. And if you don't have that, and then you have wins, competitive wins against them, even when they lose within their conference, they're going to get the benefit of the doubt.
In this conversation is the one that happens all the time. Is it the four best or the four most deserving? Because the four best probably always does have two SEC teams in it. But the four most deserving, that's a different story. Because deserving is you handle the schedule that's in front of you in a format that has no uniformity in their scheduling. So
we do, don't we do this in college football? We assume too much as undefeated teams that are bad. And then we try to look there and it goes, oh, wait a minute. They don't deserve this. You say most deserving.
Yeah. Winning your conference.
Yeah. Justifying that is what we do in college football.
If you don't win your conference, you're not one of the most deserving.
But isn't it pretty amazing that when we look at a team and we look for undefeated in football and we see it, instead of giving credit where credit is due, you actually spend more time trying to find a reason why they're not good, their blemishes, their bad teams, their winning percentages.
Yeah.
You constantly try to tell how bad a team is, even when they're undefeated, because they're not justified to be there. We do this in college football
Right. Like
I've never seen in any other sport.
It's a prove it. Well, because you have a chance to prove it in every other sport. Like in this one, you don't. So you're forced to go down that road.
Even in perfection of college football, you are not given the benefit of the doubt. Week in and week out.
Perfection in the regular season?
And I just wrote a song there.
You're talking perfection of the regular season?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then the other thing is you got to finish it. You got to like finish the regular season perfect. Like Baylor and Minnesota, If you finish it perfect, then shoot. Yeah, you do deserve it.
No problems. You tell me Baylor, Minnesota went out.
I hope we have Baylor, Minnesota, Clemson, and LSU all go undefeated. And then I hope there's no other team that can. Dang it. I wanted five undefeated. You're not going to get it.
I know.
All right, we need to get to Hot and Cool. My goodness, 710. 710 buck.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, that was when I said, got to get to Hot and Cool twice in your ear. That.
Go. Hurry.
What's hot?
Go.
Boken.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and Cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
The Blazers lost 114-106, and they're 4-8 on the year. Not very good. Now it gets easier because they go on the road for six straight games.
Sounds good.
Dame had 9 points. First time since 2016. He has not scored in double digits.
Do you see a win on that stretch? I mean, you're at New Orleans, Milwaukee, Cleveland, Houston,
Chicago,
San Antonio.
Chicago and Cleveland.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, nothing's guaranteed right now, but those teams are bad, too. Yeah.
You're as cold as ice.
It was chippy down in Houston last night between the Clippers and the Rockets. Doc Rivers got ejected because his son, Austin Rivers, who plays for the Rockets, pleaded with officials to give his father a technical. But the story was the Rockets winning 102-93. And afterwards, Russell Westbrook had a hot take on one of the NBA's best defenders, Patrick Beverley.
Pat Bev trick y'all, man. Like, he playing defense. He don't guard nobody, man. He's just running around. As you've seen, what happened, 47. All that commotion to get 47.
James Harden drops 47 on Patrick Beverley, and Russell Westbrook goes, he's got you fooled. He doesn't play defense. He just runs around.
I mean, he plays with a lot of fervor and excitement. Do you see the analytics that proved it wrong?
Yeah. He actually, when Patrick Beverley was on James Harden, he was held almost ineffective in the game.
Patrick Beverley's a good defender.
Yeah, he's just hateable.
Yeah,
so everybody
hateable.
Loved that
but,
comment from
but
Russ
I don't know
Westbrook.
If he's if you listen to his background, he's actually extremely likable.
Yeah,
where
but
he came
on
from.
The floor, he's
oh,
definitely
I,
hateable.
Oh, yeah.
The Oregon Ducks women's basketball team won 109-52 over Utah State. Yeah, Sabrina Ionescu has she's just an amazing basketball player. But on the other side, outside of this game and what happened, you see that Nike started selling Oregon women's basketball jerseys because she tweeted out, what was her tweet, Buck, that she had?
She said something along the lines of, I'm running out of excuses to tell people as to why you can't buy an Oregon women's jersey.
So,
because people have been asking her and there wasn't one available. Now there is. And they're already sold out.
Sold out in one day.
Yeah, name, image, and likeness.
Sabrina Ionescu jersey sold out in a day after Nike started producing
it. She doesn't make anything off of it.
She is a star in women's basketball. A bona fide star.
Yep.
And if you haven't seen any of the stuff she's done, her interviews, her interviews are at the level of her play. She's engaging. She has a great personality, and she's a hell of an athlete, too. So, Ionescu, good at basketball.
Name, image, and likeness.
Bring it. Okay, NFL injury update. We have a significant one, and George Kittle of the San Francisco 49ers, Kyle Shanahan, I almost called him Mike, Kyle Shanahan ruled him out of the game already this week. And then the Niners had to backtrack because he's got knee and ankle injury. He said, well, we haven't made a final decision on him yet. But Shanahan's already saying early in the week, Kittle will not play. The severity of these injuries has people a little bit concerned in San Francisco now, especially with Joe Staley out as well. He's got a finger injury that'll keep him out a couple of weeks. Falling apart in Frisco.
Oh, well, this is the middle of the season. You're going to have some injuries. They're still a very good football team, but you're going to have to go through your stretch run with some of your stars not there. If you're going to take a month off, the month of November for these 3 weeks is what you do.
Yeah. You're 8-1. You've built up a little bit of
there's
a little
bit
of credits
cushion
in the bank.
Yeah, there's a little credits, but not a lot of cushion. Yeah.
Thursday Night Football returns tonight on Fox. A 5:20 kick between the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 5-4, and currently, if the playoffs started today, the Steelers would be the sixth seed. The final wild card, they have rebounded and recovered very well. They're going up against a reeling 3-6 Cleveland Browns.
Well, they're coming off a win, beating Buffalo on a short week. Did you hear Baker Mayfield again?
No.
Yesterday?
No.
Guys,
what'd Baker do?
Just stay in your lane, man. Start talking about football.
All right. I want to get what Baker Mayfield said next. Plus, we dive into the NFL. A little bit more drama going on around the league. Plus, an update to a former high draft pick of the Seattle Seahawks who's fallen on some hard times. Dustin Cam on the Fan. All right, a little NFL chatter for you here on this beautiful Thursday. What did Baker Mayfield say? You said is stay in his lane. What do you do now?
It's not surprising that a guy that is distracted. I think this goes. It goes to say is how do you want your quarterback to act? He's struggling with understanding and staying in your lane and just focusing on football. He's spending a lot of time going from shaving to bad dress to saying I don't deserve handlebars. His comment yesterday. He's getting ready for a big game versus Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
He spent time complaining. Mm-hmm. That the fans at the Cleveland Stadium, what is Cleveland Stadium's name? I don't know. Cleveland Stadium.
The toilet bowl.
Because the dog pound and the rest of the crowd was too loud when they were on offense. They need to be quiet and get loud when they're on defense and be quiet.
I don't mind that because
are you serious right now?
Fans bother me.
Are you serious?
No one can cheer. Yeah, I don't. That is. I mean,
do you really think your starting quarterback should be complaining? In the Browns, in the city of Cleveland, that your fans are too loud?
Yeah, I don't care. I really don't care.
You don't find that an issue that your quarterback is complaining about being too loud?
Like, I haven't heard it, but it doesn't sound like it's the worst thing in the world. I mean, just a helpful reminder, when we're on offense, please don't.
I feel like we've seen quarterbacks before just come out and say, hey, we love the noise we're on defense, but we need fans to keep it down.
I've never heard a quarterback with any sort of credibility sit there and complain about noise in my life that has any credibility being a good quarterback.
Well, I don't know.
Especially in Cleveland.
I mean, that is something that I will look into, and I'll see if anybody with credibility has said, but...
Well, credibility means you're successful when you make it to the NFL. I'm talking about one of the best. Do you really think Brett Favre is out there saying, you know what, Green Bay and the rest of the Packer fans?
Nobody's accusing Baker Mayfield of being one of the best.
Well, no, we're talking about NFL quarterbacks. Well, we're talking about guys who are supposed to lead your franchise, faces of your franchise.
Right.
That'd be like Russell Wilson saying, you know what, 12s? Shut up when we're on offense. Would you ever hear Tom Brady say, shut up when we're on offense?
Well, no. Did Baker Mayfield say shut up?
That's what he just essentially said. Be quiet. Well, said you guys need to be quiet.
I mean, saying shut up and saying, you know, hey, don't be as loud when we're on offense. Those are two different things. But
that it doesn't go over well. It doesn't look good.
It doesn't go over well because he has so many other things right now that are kind of burying Baker Mayfield.
Well, can't we not agree is that he put this on himself and should have had a really good season, and it struggled because it's tough. It's not making Odell Beckham happy. And so they got a chance tonight to prove versus a Pittsburgh Steelers team with no Ben Roethlisberger. That's a tough name to say sometimes. They're a good defense. Pittsburgh's a very good defense.
Oh, yeah, they are. Especially Minka Fitzpatrick, the addition to him in that secondary, they are damn good.
I foresee... I not only foresee the Browns just falling apart even more the rest of the season, because I think they have winnable games the rest of the year, but this is one of those turning point games because you get in a short week, you have a win, you're feeling pretty decent about beating a Buffalo team. Now you got a division game. You don't win this football game, somebody's going to get fired.
Well, as they probably should.
Should they? Yet again?
I mean, it is Cleveland. Again, a dysfunctional franchise doing dysfunctional things. Yeah. The Baker Mayfield, you probably need to sit that play out, but I don't think it's the worst thing in the world that he did.
Guy was so much thinking talent, that he did but something. Just getting in his own way so many times.
I don't know.
He should get a mentor and tell him to shut up.
Yeah. I'm looking at his quote now. He said,
you probably don't need a mentor to tell you to shut up. We could just do that.
But he's not listening. That's the problem, is he's not listening.
No, oh, Bucko send this to him.
He's not listening. Yeah, he doesn't
Baker,
care.
We say shut up.
Yeah, just focus on football, man.
He was asked because he said it was really loud then when they were on offense, and he was asked if it was because of the Bills fans that traveled to Cleveland. He said, no, it wasn't that. It was just the fact that when we're on offense, we needed to be quiet. It might have ruffled some feathers. Once again, that's okay. But when we're on offense on a critical down, we need to be able to have silence in our home stadium.
That is ridiculous.
It's got to be an advantage for us. Hold on. And then when we get the ball, it's got to be really loud. It's just basic football.
What do you want to hear? Do you want to hear the pin drop?
But isn't that what smart fan bases do, though? I mean, smart fan bases, when your offense has the ball, you stay quiet. When the defense is on, you get loud. Like, Peyton Manning trained the Colts fans to do that. I mean, it was...
Please tell me how you're going to silence 60,000-plus people on offense. Are they screaming murder?
Your quarterback asks you nicely not to make noise.
Doesn't Russell Wilson do it every week when he flaps his arms and goes like this to get the
I don't know. I've been to a Seahawks game.
No, he's pretending to be a Seahawk, I think.
I've been to a couple Seahawks games. It's pretty loud on offense. Certainly, it's a lot louder on defense. No question. But he's essentially saying it needs to be quiet. Quiet?
Yeah, he's got poor wording in a lot. In everything that Baker Mayfield steps into.
He steps in his own pile.
Like, it's... His wording might need to be a little bit better, and he wouldn't be at the center of a lot of
conversations. Easily just could have said, we love the intensity of you as fans, and we're super excited. Keep giving it to him on defense. We'll produce on offense. He could have easily said, yeah, it's nice. We have a great advantage of our fans. He didn't have to say anything about being quiet. Didn't need to.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't see it as big of a deal as you do, but... I mean, different strokes for different folks. And I think what happens with Baker, too, is everything gets amplified with him because he is so polarizing.
Right.
And he has actually said some controversial things and done some things that you're sitting there like, whoa.
It sure would be nice if Baker just went out and just earned it being the number one pick. And I hope he does. I hope the next rest of the season they go on a run, because that way we could stop hearing about how bad Baker Mayfield is and he can actually go play.
And one thing I do appreciate out of him, though, is that when he's asked a question, he'll answer it. You know, I know that milk toast is the way that a lot of people want their quarterbacks, because you look at the Tom Brady's, the Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson.
You think that's
They don't give you anything, really. And when they answer a question, it's very political in the way that they answer. But I like Aaron Rodgers and Baker Mayfield, that they're not afraid just to give you an honest response to it. And I think that that can be refreshing.
Okay.
You know,
I don't.
That you have coined, quarterbackial.
Yeah.
It is very quarterbackial to give you that dull answer and not being bulletin board material for opposing teams or your own fan base in this case?
I don't know if I give it a dull answer. I give it a smart, calculated, intelligent answer because it takes away and stops putting the limelight on you and actually puts it on the team. That is called intelligence, and that's smart because smart players don't distract and make it all about themselves. They actually find ways to make it about the team. Just like Bill Belichick, as much as we want to say is it's dull, it's actually extremely calculated and intelligent. Bill Belichick is funny as heck.
Well, no, I know.
He is self-deprecating. He is extremely, and so is Tom Brady. All those guys have great personalities.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying.
They're just not dumb enough to succumb to the idiocy of being baited by media. And because they've understood that and they understand it. The stuff with Russell Wilson, he's just truly genuine.
Right.
Like that. I think that he honestly doesn't know how to be negative.
Right. But at least with the Baker Mayfield and Aaron Rodgers, they give you their personality. It's who they actually are instead of like Bill Belichick and Tom Brady who hide it. And we don't know a lot of what we actually get to see who they are. And that's just it's refreshing to see because that's what fans kind of want is they want to hear who these people actually are.
Some do, some don't. Some like to criticize. As soon as I give you a chunk of my personality and give you a look behind the curtain,
well, that's why
you criticize it. You criticize it. You criticize it. You make fun of it. Wah, wah, wah. We all tell you. But then when you back off, thing is you're going to be who you are. Smart guys don't let you in. They don't.
Yeah. I mean,
they don't let you in. I don't want to hear about.
I'm not going to call Baker Mayfield and Aaron Rodgers dumb. But
I really don't want to hear about Aaron Rodgers and his family issues and whether he thinks the receivers suck and all this stuff. That doesn't do anything for it. It actually loses credibility in the locker room.
Well, he doesn't talk about his family. His family talks about him. He does talk about his receivers, though, and the whole relax.
Yeah, but those conversations like happen as players all the time within the meeting rooms.
Relax.
Some of that stuff, I don't think it needs to be aired. It doesn't.
Yeah,
it never helps when fans get involved in what you think.
55305, better you today, text line. We do it every single Thursday, 7:30. Know your foe, Arizona State edition. First, though, Buck with SportsCenter. Eddie Murphy making the big comeback. Is his Netflix special up yet?
I don't know.
He's got movies coming out now again and Netflix specials. I'm assuming a Nutty Professor 8 is coming out soon.
Does he have another comedy special coming out?
He is on Netflix. I think it might be up already.
Is it going to be like Delirious?
I don't know if it can ever be like that.
I don't think
I don't
can.
Know if,
I don't
I
know
want
if
to
we can ever go there ever
I don't know
again
if I want to see a 55 or however old Eddie Murphy is.
He's almost 60, isn't he?
Squeezed into leather suit again. Red leather. Woo! Can you imagine him trying to squeeze into that bad boy right now?
Boy, the Mr. T joke.
All right. We do this every single Thursday at this time. It is time for Know Your Foe. What do you got for us, Ryan Buckley?
Well, as you know, we have a special Arizona, an all-Arizona edition this week with the Beavs visiting Arizona State and Oregon hosting Arizona. We'll start with Arizona State as that game taking place first.
Booyah.
Arizona State University has, well, that's been their name since 1958, but that hasn't always been their name. They've had actually five different university names.
Really?
Which one of the following was not one of the former names of Arizona State University? Was
I'm it never going to know this.
A, Tempe State Teachers College. B, Tempe Normal School of Arizona.
Okay.
Or C, Tempe Trade and Labor Institute.
It's got to be the normal school.
No, normal school, because I went like the... A lot of colleges were called normal schools back then. Like the school I went to, Southern Oregon, was Southern Oregon Normal School. So I'm going to go. I know that that is one. I'm going to go with the trade and labor. I'm going to go trade and labor as the not. I think the teacher's college and the normal school were it.
Dusty, good deductive reasoning. You would be correct. The Tempe Trade and Labor Institute was not a former name. They were first the Territorial Normal School, then the Tempe Normal School of Arizona, the Tempe Normal School, the Tempe State Teachers College, Arizona State Teachers College, and Arizona State College before becoming Arizona State University.
Look at that.
Wow. Okay.
Moving on to
biggest
animal.
Party school in the Pac-12.
Whoop, whoop.
Two animal mascots preceded the Sun Devil, actual animals, not fictitious Harry Potter characters like Mike Leach has pointed out. What were the two previous mascots of Arizona State University? Was it A, the Owls and the Bulldogs, B, the Roadrunners and the Coyotes, or C, the Hawks and the Rattlesnakes?
What was one again? First one?
Owls and Bulldogs.
Yeah, that one seems so lame, it seems like it is the answer. The other one seemed very reasonable and actually better than a Sun Devil, so I'm going to go number one.
Yeah, I'm also going to go number one.
You gentlemen would be correct. They were first the Owls and then the Bulldogs before eventually becoming the Sun Devils.
Why aren't they the Hooters still? You know,
great question.
That's what OIT goes by.
Great question.
Oregon Tech is the Owls.
So is Temple.
And they go by the Hooters. They go Hooters.
The Hooters section?
Yeah. Go Hooters.
Hoot, hoot, hoot.
At least they did.
It was there for the wings.
Probably problematic now.
There for the wings.
Which unique Arizona museum resides in the city of Tempe? Is it A, the Arizona Military Museum? Is it B, the Museum of Firefighting? Or is it C, the Titan Missile Museum? All three are museums in Arizona. Only one is in Tempe.
So firefighting, missiles. What was the first one again?
Arizona Military Museum.
Military Museum.
Okay. I'm going to go missiles. That's a good call.
I'm going missiles
as well.
Unfortunately, the Titan Missile Museum is in Green Valley, Arizona.
How could I have missed that?
The Museum of Firefighting is in Tempe, but they don't call it the Museum of Firefighting. They call it the Hall of Flame.
Oh.
Well done.
I see what they did there.
Well done.
Yeah.
Moving on to Oregon's opponent, the Arizona Wildcats.
Are deserts catching on fire a thing? Like, is that a big...
More dust stormy.
I was going more like northern Arizona. Mm-hmm. They have some wooded area. That's where it would be. Okay.
So Kevin Sumlin started his career as a GA in the Pac-12. For which school did he originally coach as a grad assistant? Was it A, Colorado, B, Washington State, or C, UCLA?
Washington State.
Yes.
Wow, apparently we know that one.
He actually got a start
at Eastern Washington.
Yeah. But in 89, he was a grad assistant with the Cougs. I did not know that. Which of the following female entertainers never attended the University of Arizona? Was it A, Kelly Clarkson, B, Kristen Wiig, or C, I don't know if you can call her an entertainer, Kourtney Kardashian?
Yeah, she's an entertainer. Arizona? Oh God, did a Kardashian
Two
go to
Two of
college?
The three attended, one of them did not.
One of them did, Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, I'm going to go Kelly Clarkson on that one as well.
You guys know your Arizona trivia. It is Kelly Clarkson. She actually didn't attend a college at all. Just went into her music career. But Kristen Wiig and Kourtney Kardashian both went to U of A.
I feel like they would have made a big deal when she won American Idol.
Yes, too. Yeah, there would have been. Arizona, yeah, definitely.
Well, speaking of making a big deal, we've done a little bit of marching band trivia recently. Arizona's marching band, the Pride of Arizona, has a claim to fame. What is it? Were they the first band to perform CBS's March Madness theme song? Were they the first ever band to play in a Super Bowl halftime show? Did they perform Arizona's fight song in Revenge of the Nerds?
Adamance. I'm going to go Revenge of the Nerds because that movie was filmed on the Arizona campus.
It was filmed on the Arizona campus. I'm also going to go with that.
Well, it was filmed on that campus. Not why they're known. The Arizona Marching Band, the Pride of Arizona, played in the first ever Super Bowl halftime show.
Really?
Yep.
I thought that was We Are the World or whatever it was. What was that?
First ever Super Bowl halftime show? Yeah. That was what, 19...
I will find out what year it was.
60...
Yeah, why them?
Look at that. I thought you were going to throw a Revenge of the Nerds in somewhere.
Well, that was my red herring. I knew I got you guys on the location.
You
had to. Yeah, you got us on that. You saw that we knew.
And that's my pie right there.
Arizona talk, and then boom, you hit us with that. Okay, well done, Brian Buckley.
When do you show Revenge of the Nerds?
At what age?
Yeah.
I'm a horrible person to ask this to.
Too, because I saw this movie with my parents.
Yeah.
On video.
I saw a lot of films far too early because of my dad's football players. Like Silence of the Lambs at 8. I think I saw Revenge of the Nerds probably younger than that. So I'm a bad person to ask on this because I feel like I turned out fine. And I saw those movies young.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're looking around like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what do you want to do? You're not a murderer, so I mean, we're good.
As far as you know.
By the way, the Super Bowl was 1967 was when they played in it, and they played alongside Grambling States Band.
Wow.
Well, I know what band won that one.
Yeah. Well,
one band is famous. The other one was just there.
Just there. Still working on it.
The Pride of Arizona was considered one of the very best at the time.
Okay. No, never heard of it now.
Band controversy.
All right, 55305 is the Better You Today text line. Pro Football Challenge coming up at the top of next hour. Michael Rapaport, actor, comedian, who's going to be in town for shows at Helium Comedy Club this weekend. He will join us in studio, but coming up next, Off the Rails. What's this guy doing with this much booze in his car? Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
What in God's name are we doing? What?
Most sports talk segments are designed to keep the average fan informed while sparking traditional debates.
I have another story that will take you off the rails.
This is not that segment.
A fungal spore.
Growing in his lungs.
It's time to get away from the games.
He choked out a mountain lion and saved his life.
And get into the most bizarre, shocking, and hilarious news stories of the day.
Do you understand that most of the country thinks that you're one of the stupidest people around right now?
It's time for Off the Rails.
Millennial dogs are like, nope.
With Dusty and Cam in the morning.
They crossed their paws and said, I'm done with it.
On 1080.
Stupid covers all genres.
The Fan.
All right, we go off the rails at this segment every single day at this time.
Well, not Mondays.
Yeah, no, it's case of the Mondays then.
Case of the Thursdays.
Yeah. yes, that has been sent to me. Your little chuckle fest over there has been sent to me several times.
Oh, Lord.
There is...
We talk about winning the internet today.
Yeah, there's quite a... The Astros scandal has brought out the best in meme and video culture.
Oh, yeah.
It has been phenomenal. And there is a one that is going around. And this one has been sent to me. I don't know what's happening or why this is actually a video. But it's catcher calls a changeup. And then Astros players in the dugout. And it has a man who... It's like he's underneath like a...
I gotta retweet this. I'm sorry.
Pull-up bar. And he's wearing underwear, and he's got a pole attached to his groin.
Dead.
And he just starts hitting the metal bar. I'll go ahead and I'll assume that's what happened in the Astros dugout. Oh goodness. Okay. Let's get to this. Off the rails. Hey, coming up next hour, we've said it before.
Okay, serious.
Pro Football Challenge.
Serious here.
Okay, brought to you by Encore Audio Video. All right?
Yeah.
That is an important thing that we need to get to. We will make our picks. You can play along with us at 1080thefan.com. Michael Rapaport, actor, comedian, director of a movie, a documentary about the rap group Tribe Called Quest, which is very good. We got a lot to talk to him about, and he's a hurting Knicks fan because all Knicks fans are hurting. I'm assuming that he's a hurting Knicks fan because if you're a fan of the Knicks, you got to be in pain at all times.
True.
Just a series
maybe,
of it.
Or maybe not.
So I didn't know that this was a rule or a law. I guess it wouldn't be a rule. It's a law. A New York man was arrested over the weekend in Massachusetts for transporting $36,000 worth of rum, whiskey, Sambuca, and other alcohol through the state, which violates a little-known state law there in that state. He had $36,000, and we're not talking, you said, what is this? What is he carrying around here?
I thought it was moonshine. Immediately, I'm like, wait a minute. How do we justify $36,000? Is it the retail value? Is it the street value? You laughed at me when you said street value.
Street value?
The heck is the street value?
Secondary market booze?
I thought this was moonshine.
But
like, this guy's a runner.
No, this man was arrested. He had 20 gallon. If you have transport anything more than 20 gallons of malt beverage or 3 gallons of any other alcoholic, beverage without a permit,
It,
you can go to jail.
So 20,
and so they locked this dude up.
So 20 gallons? What if I got a big party?
20 gallons. Okay, so 20 gallons of, say, beer, right, is about 10 cases of beer, less than 10 cases of beer.
So if I go pick up a couple kegs, I'm in trouble?
I guess that would be yes.
I'm in trouble?
If you, apparently.
So if I go down, give
me... unless you have a permit.
A keg of beer.
A keg of beer.
Give me... You know, you remember from Teen Wolf?
Teen Wolf, yeah. A keg of beer.
So if I go get two kegs of beer and I go take those and I put them in the back of my truck, I'm in trouble? I had no idea about this.
It's in Massachusetts.
I wonder what our state law is here.
States have weird laws about this stuff.
Really?
You know, but how about this, though? The 3 gallon thing for any, so this guy got popped with the 3 gallons for hard liquor, right? And so it's only 3 gallons if you have hard liquor.
3 gallons?
Yeah.
Wow.
So if you're talking like half gallons, obviously 6 half gallons.
This is a moonshine rule. It's gotta be.
This guy had case upon case upon case of Kettle One, Jameson. I see a Jägermeister. Jack Daniels, worth $36,000, and where the police said that they became very suspicious of this man is the fact that they became suspicious of this guy because they reinforced the lower parts of his car with steel.
He's a runner. He is legitimately a runner.
And he had blacked out windows on the vehicle. And they had him for a illegal lane change.
What was the Mark Wahlberg movie where they all had to reinforce the little Mini Coopers and they all broke in and drove away in Mini Coopers?
The Italian Identity.
The Italian Job. Thank you, Buck.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Italian Job.
Where they were driving down narrow stairwells.
Yeah, because they had to reinforce all the Minis. Yeah. He's a runner.
How much do you think Mini paid to get have that done for their vehicle.
And that was around the time that they just began their popularity, too. So that would have been a massive marketing push.
A great kickoff.
Yeah, so it was kind of like that.
Fun little clown car. That's what those little clown cars are.
Jason Statham, Mos Def, Charlize Theron. Good movie.
Oh, it was a great movie. It was a good movie.
Was it?
So he reinforced everything. What was he running it? Where was he doing it? Did he steal it and then was selling it?
Nope.
What's he running it to?
It was purchased legally. And this is kind of like, if this is a law in Oregon, I'm going to have to go ahead and admit my guilt. Yeah. I used to do this all the time because we would drive down to the liquor barn in California, load up, turn around, drive back to college in Ashland. Like that was like a normal thing because the booze is cheaper in California.
Yeah.
And you would take the orders from everybody. They'd give you cash or you would give somebody else cash. They drive down, they pick it up, and then bring it back. So it was kind of like that. I may have been a criminal. I haven't done that in quite some time.
We got to do some research. Buck, can you do a little research and wonder what the limit is here in Oregon or Washington?
I have a feeling they don't have them.
3 gallons? 3 gallons?
Mm-hmm. Of hard alcohol. Like that was, isn't that like a case? Like think of like a case.
12 ounces or 16.
No, I'm talking hard alcohol. Three gallons of hard alcohol. It's not coming in 12 ounces.
Well, yeah, that'd be 6 half gallons, the biggest bottle you usually buy.
Yeah. Yeah, you're done. Yeah, you're going to jail. Goodbye.
Interesting.
Okay, 55305.
Don't make a big Costco run. You're going to get in trouble.
Exactly.
I wish I could buy my liquor at Costco. I can in California.
And we'll just go to Vancouver.
Just drive over to Vancouver.
I mean, I guess I could, but that seems like a long way to go just for Costco run.
Oh, my God. It's all the way on the other side of the river.
It is.
Well, you complain about that bridge every day.
I drive it every day. I deserve to
complain. So would you voluntarily drive across it?
I come over here all the time. I drive over here all the time.
I'm going to give Cam money, and he's going to do my next booze run.
I'll tell you what. I would rather drive that bridge in that god-awful tunnel. Let's call it that.
Okay.
Because I feel like 26 is just as bad now. You got to spend more time on the bridge to be able to. I've done enough to go to the east side. Like, I'm always over there for sports and stuff, too. I'm always heading over there. That 26 is just as a garbungle as it is with that I-5 bridge.
So is the interchange to I-84, too.
Yeah, I agree with that also. It's all junk. It's a junk box.
It's terrible.
Right.
55305, better you today, text line. Next hour, Michael Rapaport, actor, comedian, will join us. But next, it's the Pro Football Challenge brought to you by Encore Audio Video. Play along at 1080thefan.com. You could win an upgrade to your home entertainment system. Dustin Cam on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.